Welcome to Spill the Char podcast,
where you join us, Phoebe,
Elsa,
Lauren,
and Joelle,
on our virtual terrace as we discuss the British Asian female experiences today.
We hope we will help inspire and encourage you.
So grab a drink and come join us in today's episode.
Welcome to the last episode of Spill the Char Season 3. As British-born Chinese women, we wanted to discuss the topic of race and privilege, especially in the light of the rise in attacks on the Asian community. We don't represent all British Asian women, but it's important to uplift the community and voice our experiences to normalise conversations around race, which are often uncomfortable.
So to facilitate this conversation, we're going to be using some prompts from We're Not Really Strangers. So to start this off, the first question is, in your day-to-day life, how often do you think about race?
I feel like with the recent attacks and everything that's been happening, every time, like, I guess I go outside the house, I think about it, because I'm more aware of, like, people saying something to me.
Like, anyone who goes past, you're like, okay, just...
You're like, they could say something to me right now.
Like, you feel like you overanalyze every single situation. You're like, what if it could be that, or what if it could be that?
Yeah, literally what I was gonna say, like, you're always thinking what the other person is thinking. Sometimes probably they're not thinking anything at all, then looking at you perfectly fine, but sometimes when someone looks at you like that second longer, it always passes in my mind, like, why are they looking at me? And then sometimes it naturally, normally I wouldn't think, oh, maybe, you know, they're looking at me because I'm Chinese or whatever. But now I think in rise of everything, I sometimes think, okay, is this a race thing now? Are they like, trying to understand? But maybe that's also my overthinking as well.
I feel like, I don't know, I don't think about it that much when I go out. It's not something that comes to me. As in, obviously I am aware, but it's not like something that's constantly on my mind.
I think sometimes it's, yeah, we could be overthinking, but also it's real, I suppose. It's something that is happening to other people. So, you know, it's like, what if it could happen to us? Like, fortunately, haven't experienced anything like that overt, but we know that, you know, sometimes it's escalated quite a lot. So it's always kind of on guard. What if it could happen? Before, like, if I'm at home, I wouldn't really think about it. You know, it's only if I go out, then I think about it, right?
I think especially if I'm in a situation where I notice that I am either the only or the very few ethnic minority, it could be anywhere, it could literally just even be, I actually noticed this in the supermarket the other week. It sounds really random, but I said to my mum, I turned to my mum, I said, mum, look around you. I said, we are the only other ethnic minority shoppers. The rest, like the workers are ethnic minorities, but the people shopping in there aren't. I'm not going to say which supermarket it is. You probably know.
Was it Waitrose?
Yeah, I was going to say literally, I mean, it was Waitrose, but I mean, that's, you know, I don't know why I thought of that, but I looked around and I was like, this is strange. Could it just be the time of the day? Could it be many things? I don't know. But that crossed my mind.
It's like when I'm in one of my joint honours, one is rather not ethnically diverse. So I really see that then, because I'm like, I'm literally the only Chinese person on this entire module. I'm
so like, talking about if you're in a situation where you're the only ethnic minority, personally, I always feel like I have to be on my best behavior almost. I'm like, oh, what if I do this and they see me in this or that way in stereotype about being like Asian or like East Asian. So have you guys had any stereotypes been made about you?
I guess back in school, the stereotype is like Asians are like are meant to be super smart, not athletic, really like
studious.
Yeah, that. And I guess like because I was really into sports back then, and I did like athletics, netball, and everything, and they wouldn't expect me to be good at that. Do you know what I mean? I think they were like more shocked than anything, because like back then, like I was on the relay team and like I'm literally the only Chinese person on that. So it was like things like that.
Yeah, I can relate to that actually. Yeah, memory just came to mind where I used to play hockey, and I know hockey, obviously like hockey isn't like a sport that is maybe available to a lot of schools. I'm not sure if it was available at your schools. Yeah. But when we played matches, it was always against like independent schools. And even though my school I went to a grammar school, but even though it was quite like ethnically diverse, the hockey team, every person, I was the only like ethnic minority on the team. And then when I would go to other schools and play like against the like independent schools, I was the only like person of color. Mm-hmm. And that was like times when I'll be like, okay, am I like, am I playing the wrong sport? Or like that, but like thoughts like that would cross my mind. What
yeah, I think generally it's just like model minority conversation and like stereotype. Because yes, I was good at maths or like stuff like that, but I didn't enjoy it. So it's like when people are like, oh, you're like Asian, you must be good at math. I'm like, okay, cool. I don't know what that says about me, but okay.
I think I was always trying to kind of buck this model minority trend, this kind of category. So I'm not good at maths, just disclaimer. I can't play instruments very well. I don't study a science subject. I liked writing. I liked humanities and subjects, that kind of stuff. So all of that in school. And even now people kind of don't. It's funny, my parents always say, when people say, oh, what is it your daughter study at university? I say, and they say, oh, geography. They're like, oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting subject. Because it's different. Because then my dad will normally make a joke and be like, yeah, it's not law, engineering, or accounting and finance. So yeah, that's why it's different. And we joke about it, but I don't know whether actually joking about that perpetuates this kind of stereotype. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So we're actually even joking about it sometimes, I think, I don't know whether I shouldn't really even be saying, I'd just be like, no, yeah, I study that. That's it.
Because yeah. I suppose we've kind of internalized that, like, oh, we're not like other Asians. Because none of us study like stereotypically Asian roles. But then it's like, what about people who are studying those roles? Like, what does that mean about, what does that say about them, right? Mm-hmm. And something that's quite interesting that came up in my dissertation. Was that like this conversation around like international students and like, you know, who is more Asian or like less East Asian or whatever, and also, you know, like what we think about them as well. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've got so much internalized racism, like, you know, international students are like XYZ. I guess, yeah, the kind of conversation about like, you know, the whole like stereotypes thing.
Yeah, it's interesting, like even actually at university, so I wanted to be in a halls where it was with home students, and I made it, and although there was a couple of international students, like I think in the beginning, like I always tried to make sure, like, okay, no, listen, like I was brought up in the UK, like I'm British, da 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 da, XYZ, you know. But then looking back on it, like, why did I have to do that? Like, what's wrong? Do you know, I think there is this kind of, and I'm glad to know this isn't just in my university, I think this is in university culture in general. For some reason, there is this kind of home student, international student divide. And we've spoken about this before. And it is internalized racism, I think. And even amongst people who, this isn't to say, this is even with, say, for example, Chinese students coming across, and they're the same race as us. Mm. And yet we still other them.
Yeah, that's like, at uni where we have like loads of Asian societies, but we don't normally collaborate with Chinese society, even though we are Chinese. And like, yeah, I remember at the start of uni I was like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to be friends with internationals. That was like a kind of at the back of my mind kind of thing, I don't know why. But then like after I realized how like they're like all really cool people, and like it's so cool to have friends who are from other countries, because then you like see other perspectives and things.
I think to maybe clarify as well, when I say international students and what I was speaking about earlier, it's often I'm thinking of Asian international students, so international students from Asia, because I think there is a difference, East Asia in particular, because I think there is a difference between how East Asian international students are treated compared to, say, European, American, Australian, white international students are treated, because you can't tell. That sounds, you can't tell who is unless they start speaking, maybe, but you can tell although no one can see me doing quote marks. but you can tell who is an international student, say from China,
because we have the stereotype where they're like rich and loaded and they always wear like designer brands, but that is a stereotype that we hold right
against them, which isn't true, you know, I mean, yes, there's a group of them, but that doesn't represent all of them. But that's what also the media portrays as well.
Yeah. Like, I was talking to some of my international friends, and when like someone says, oh, you seem like you're really rich, they'll get really offended. And like, I was like, I never thought of it like that. Do you know what I mean? Or you never think of it from the other perspective, but it actually really makes sense.
Mm. Yeah. It's also when you start having conversations with people from other countries, when you realize like, yeah, they actually don't fit these stereotypes that we have of them. And it's kind of, yeah, I really enjoy those conversations where you're kind of like breaking it down and be like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then you actually realize it's
not everyone's like loaded anyway. And even if you are, it's like, okay, cool. Cool.
So yeah, obviously with all these stereotypes, I guess beauty standards come into it as well. So yeah, what did you grow up like believing beautiful looked like?
And I think I don't know if this is connected to beauty standards as much, but whenever because my hair is very brown, right? So it's quite light brown sometimes. Yeah, it's not black anyway. But like when I go to Hong Kong or people, they'd call me like Kwai Mui. And it's basically, it's kind of derogatory, right? It's kind of saying that you're like white. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And I was like, oh yeah, I've got like lighter hair. And I don't know whether that's what they perceive to be like better, but also low-key like othering you as well, so you're not like fully Chinese or whatever. But in terms of beauty standards, I guess it's whatever you see around you.
I feel like one like main difference is like Western Eastern beauty, right? So in East Asia, it's quite common to want to look fair and not tanned. But obviously in the West, like most of us quite like getting tanned. It makes me feel like I'm healthier. But obviously like back in Asia when I went, my cousins would always be like, oh my gosh, you're so dark. You're like darker than me. And I was like, what's that meant to mean? Is that a bad thing? So I like never really understood that.
It's like I feel like I don't fit what's beautiful in either the West or the East. Because I don't have super, I have freckles, I have blemishes on, you know, I don't have super fair skin. I'm pretty fair, but I'm not, you know, I'm not fair enough for the white skin that they like in Asia. In contrast, in the West, I mean, I'm not white. So,
explains everything.
Full stop there. Like, I don't have blonde hair. I don't have blue eyes. I'm not representative of the population of the West. I'm not saying that, you know, now we need to have only like Chinese people like on beauty campaigns and everything, like not at all, but just, you know, how beauty is perceived in Western media or in films and stuff like that. So then I feel like we sit on the fence with it. And it's kind of, I've kind of realized that, you know, you're kind of feel like you get criticized on both sides.
Yeah, I would say like growing up, especially like growing up with, I don't know, like watching British YouTubers, a lot of them are predominantly like white, right? And you, especially in media, there weren't, I don't even know if there are now that many British Asians, like even in the YouTube world or even in media. So if you're growing up as like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old watching like British YouTubers and they're doing like their beauty hauls, like everything that they're buying is like, oh, I want to like, you know, try that. But obviously the products that they're using would suit their like skin type better, the way that their face structure. And yeah, so I think obviously like growing up, like what you, like growing up in the sort of media that you like consumed.
I was going to say like what I believe to be beautiful was like back then, I'll watch like Victoria's Secret fashion shows or like fashion shows in general. And like a lot of them weren't ethnic minorities, but like gradually they've changed that. And like how like body types were all very similar. So being like skinny and tall was like what I thought was beautiful, even though it's very unrealistic because like not many people look like that.
It's like the whole Barbie vibe.
But yeah, I wouldn't say that's just a Western thing. I mean, you look in Korea, for example, and everyone's having plastic surgery or different treatments to make your skin whiter. And that's in China as well. They're, you know, it's prolific everywhere. And so I think...
Yeah, it's like the whole like monolids and double eyelids and all of that as well. But I guess, yeah, don't forget that all these beauty standards, they're like trends, they're going to change over the years anyways. And remember that, you know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139, I don't know the verse, but
yeah. And it's interesting to know that, like, obviously all these countries that we're from have been like colonized in some way, so all of these standards do come from that in some shape or form. So it's interesting to note. So the next interesting question is, how do you define privilege and articulate the privileges that you have?
Ooh,
I'll start us off. So privileges, yeah, I mean, obviously we are light-skinned people, and even within like the Asian, East Asian community and like diaspora, there's a lot of like colorism. So in terms of being like light-skinned, that's a huge thing. And like being economically privileged as well, I suppose, like just being able to move out for uni, go to university, have an, you know, go to higher education and obtain this piece of paper that says that you've gone to university is like a huge privilege. So yeah, it's privilege to me is, I mean, I think privilege, the definition of privilege is like having benefits that other groups don't have, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't really think about it that much, to be honest.
I think I growing up now and looking back at my childhood, listening to other people's experiences as well, has shown me a lot actually how privileged I was growing up. And I think I didn't really realize that. And especially with all these conversations around race, I think something which really challenged me, I was looking on social media and I saw a post which said, it's a privilege to believe the police will protect you. And that really challenged me, and that made me think a lot, especially in light of recent conversations about race, and also in light of Sarah Everard, who tragically passed away, well, was murdered, and thinking about the institutions, the wider state, who are they protecting? How are they protecting? And the injustices within that system. And actually me as a British-born Chinese woman, do I believe like, that the police is protecting
in general,
me?
Like, what is all of this serving? Like, who is this serving? And like, who do we believe it serves? And like, who do we believe it benefits? Because a lot of the times when we are privileged, we believe that it benefits us. And in a lot of ways it does, but also we are kind of, as obviously like ethnic minorities, like, does it really benefit us? Or are we under this guise that it does? And we're thinking like, oh, equal and like meritocracy. Hashtag myth of meritocracy.
And I think only with the rise in crimes against people from the Asian community due to coronavirus, have in my lifetime, I can only say this from my experience, have in my lifetime have felt almost fear. I have felt, I'm scared, not just for myself, but I'm scared for my grandparents, for my parents, and who will stand up for them, who will protect them. But that kind of fear and that feeling has been around for other groups for so long. And it kind of goes back to that model minority thing. And as an ethnic minority, this is all kind of put into perspective as well. Like, you know, I think sometimes we do, I'm sweeping generalization, but as a race, there is a category of what kind of minority are you? You know, there's a ranking almost, I think. And especially in British society, we aren't an overtly racist country. We do it in very subtle ways. Racist, definitely. It's just not in your face.
I think for me, defining privilege would be like just realizing all the opportunities I have that my parents didn't have.
Yeah, I guess like I feel like back then I would have taken it for granted because I didn't realize how privileged we were. Like we were able to go to like have music lessons, do sports and all that. And that's all extracurricular. Like if our parents didn't come here from another country, I guess wonder what the privilege would be different.
It's an interesting thought to have. So like knowing what we know, and obviously this conversation hasn't been very in, like we haven't the topics and like all the nuances that, you know, there are. But knowing what we know now, like what do you hope, what do we hope future generations can understand about race?
Mm-hmm.
I'd hope that future generations can have more open conversations about it. I think often even I myself have felt a bit uncomfortable talking about it with friends and family. But it's okay to be uncomfortable. That sounds weird, but it's, you know, just because you shouldn't just not talk about it because it's uncomfortable. Yeah, it might bring up different feelings and everyone has different opinions on it. But if we don't talk about it, then it's just going to get swept under the rug.
Mm. I feel like for future generations to, like, they will face racism and injustice and things, but I hope that they'll be able to see, like, how people or, like, generations have fought for them to be where they are, kind of thing. Like, what was it? There was, like a elderly lady, and she was holding a placard with, she's like, oh, I can't believe I'm still out here fighting. Mm. For my rights or something. And they're kind of like
it's not a new thing, isn't it? It's not a new thing. It didn't start with us, nor will it end with us, as a problem, as well as, you know, as a conversation. Hopefully it won't as well. And I think for me, what I hope future generations will understand is, like, we need to stop talking about race in terms of, like, binary terms. So it's not like us or them. It's not like, oh, they do this or, like, we do this. Mm. It's more like, okay, how can we talk about more of a community effort, more than just individuals doing their own separate things. So make it more of a community effort and being a collective.
I agree with what you guys have all said. Community effort is important, and just being able to have open conversations, and I think also just being a good listener for others as well,
spaces, because I know for one, I'm very uncomfortable talking about this kind of thing in church. That's a whole different topic in itself. But requires more reflection on my part. But as a final question then, like, how can we turn our privilege into positive change with our voices and resources?
I guess, like, talking about it on a podcast, I guess, is one way. And, like, talking to people that you don't normally speak to about race can really, like, not inform, but, like, let them know, if they don't know about it, like, what's happening, so more people can speak about it.
I think, raising awareness and just being able to create, like, a environment where people are open and comfortable to talk about race as well.
Yeah, and I guess not making assumptions as well about everyone's experiences. Mm-hmm. And as kind of Joel was saying about the binary and others, it's being there to listen to other people.
Definitely. Also, like, uplifting other people and knowing that we aren't the only people kind of, like, fighting for this. Because, you know, if we benefit, then everyone benefits from this change. So we're all working together.
So this conversation doesn't end here. And if you'd like to hear other experiences, please follow at Dear Asian Youth London, at Be Seen, and we'll link resources in the description on our Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. It's our last episode of season 3. It's gone so quickly, but we've loved having all our special guests on. It's been brilliant. We hope you've enjoyed it.
We're going to be having a longer break than usual. So, you know, if you haven't caught up with the episodes, now's your chance from season 3 and all of our episodes. So I guess we will see you in our next season.
Bye.
You just finished listening to an episode of Spill the Char podcast.
If you enjoyed it, make sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review on your favorite podcast player.
Follow us on Instagram at spillthechar.pod.
And we'll see you back on our virtual terrace on our next episode.